Again, and today is Tuesday, July the 15th, 1975, and I am in the home of Mrs. Lily M. Jackson, noted civil rights leader who died on July the 5th of this year. With me are Mrs. Virginia Kaya and Mrs. Juanita Jackson Mitchell, daughters of Mrs. Jackson. I would like to talk to you ladies about your mother, and in so doing, could you give me some background information on her life, such as the date and place of her birth, and also something about her ancestry?
My mother was born May the 25th, 1889, in Baltimore, in the northwest section, in a little street called Green Willow Street, which was near Pennsylvania Avenue and off of St. Mary Street. Later on, her family moved to St. Mary Street, then to 1100 block of Etting Street.
Etting?
Etting, E-T-T-I-N-G.
All right.
And then they moved on to Druid Hill Avenue in the F to 1136 Druid Hill Avenue, where, as my mother remembers, they looked out of their third floor window and saw the fire, the Baltimore fire of 1904 beginning. They lived at 1136 Druid Hill Avenue for a number of years. My mother's mother was a businesswoman too. She conducted an ice cream parlor in her basement there. And
in the basement where?
Of the 1136 Druid Hill Avenue. 1134 Druid Hill Avenue. And my uncle, my mother's brother, Charles Carroll, who was named after his father, Charles Henry Carroll, was a news dealer who sold, as my mother says, over 1,000 copies of the editions of the Sun each day, and sold the Afro-American newspapers. And when he hired his sisters as his agents to collect for the newspapers which he delivered. He had a stand at Charles and Saratoga. He had a stand there opposite the old O'Neill's department store. And for many years, Charles Carroll was a leading news dealer in Baltimore. And my mother and her sister, Marion Carroll. My mother was Millie Mae Carroll, but they were his agents who collected for his papers each week. That gave them jobs by which they were able to help themselves get through high school, my mother and I. My mother says that her father always told her that he was a descendant of Charles Carroll of Carrollton. He was born on Dorrigan Manor Plantation in Howard County, and he said that his ladies in the big house taught him to read and write so that he was always literate and educated.
When was he born, do you know?
He was born in...
Your grandfather, that is.
From his tombstone in Mount Auburn Cemetery. He was born in 1836.
1836?
Yes, so he was...
Was he born a slave then?
That's a little clouded in obscurity. My mother says that... he was, at one time she said that he was, well, we're not sure. We don't know whether he was a slave or not.
Yeah, but he was born that early, 1836.
1836, on the plantation, and he said
right, and
that...
How far removed is he from Charles Carroll Carleton? You said a direct descendant. Are you saying he would have been a grandson or what?
It appears so. Because he told his... My mother said she always said he was a grandson of the... of Charles Carroll Carleton. And he was named Charles Henry Carroll. And then, of course, his son, my Uncle Charlie, was Charles Carroll. There are a number of descendants of Charles Carroll of Carrollton in Baltimore. One of Charles Carroll's daughters, Emma, married a Holland. And there's a whole slew of Hollands in Baltimore who came from, who are descendants of the daughter, Emma Holland. One of them is Sister Mary Benigna at the mother house of the Oblate Sisters of Providence at 501 Gun Road. Who is my mother's cousin. She was a cousin related on her father's side. There are a number of, my mother had a number of cousins who were Carrolls.
Now what about your...
And who came out of Howard County, off of the, initially, out of the Dorrigan Manor plantation.
What about your mother's side of the family?
My mother told us that her mother's grandfather was an African chief.
Her mother's grandfather, so that makes it your mother's great-grandfather, right?
Yes. Was an African chief who came to this country but was never enslaved. It is not clear whether he escaped or whether he came here. Nevertheless, he settled in Montgomery County and found that under Maryland law, the children of a white woman could never be enslaved. So he married an English woman that his children might be born free.
When did he come to this country? Do you know?
No,
any chance?
We have yet to establish the exact time. However, my mother took us up to the land records in Montgomery County, and we found traces, we found the records. He produced a number, he had a large family, and produced, he believed in education, he believed in business, he produced sons who were tradesmen, who were farmers, who were ministers, who were teachers. One of my mother's uncles, Luther Boyne, was a hay dealer. In the 1850s in Baltimore, he had hay dealer's business on Pennsylvania Avenue near Franklin.
And he was listed in the city directory at the time. His business was listed in the city directory. Now,
And we have the picture of, he later went to Washington.
Moved to Washington.
And we have the picture of...
Of his store.
Of his store at, in Washington, D.C. Virginia, where's the picture?
Yeah, I have the pictures in the folder in Savannah, in one of these deacidified folders. To preserve it, it's fading. It's fading tremendously.
What was his name?
His name was Luther
Boyne.
And then there were the land records show in Montgomery County that my grandfather purchased a great deal of land there. Boynes are all over the land, early land records, and
as far back as 1832. You searched the records, remember?
Yes.
In Montgomery County.
Yes.
And found that he had owned land as far back as 1832. And that was unusual for black people at that time.
And he purchased and gave to the AME Church land off of on the old Sandy Springs Road near Sandy Springs, Maryland. Which land and built a church and kept the Ebenezer AME Church and the surrounding ground as a burial site. And a number of the boys are buried, their tombstones still up there in that burial lot.
Now, when the AME Church decided to discontinue services after church, the property reverted back to the heirs, that was in the will, so that some of the heirs decided to tear the church down, but the land is still there.
No, lightning struck the church.
Was
and
that
it
what
was
that?
Burned down.
Was that?
And so then they
well,
cleared
some of the
away.
Way.
And they have retained the burial ground. It's still, the burial ground is still there, and it's used every year for burials.
Well, one of the relatives said she took the lumber from the church that was torn down so that she could, because she wanted to build a house, and that the lumber came from that church. But I'd have to check further because you were saying that the lightning struck the church.
Caught on fire and burned down, and that's when it was clear. Uh-huh. My mother's aim was to rebuild that church, but she never
wanted
to do so.
She wanted to have a chapel built there.
She wanted
to perpetuate the memory of the boys.
And we've got to follow through on that. Keep that a burial ground. And
Juanita, tell her about Mama's operation. She had a mastoiditis.
Right. Well, there is something in the newspaper articles about your mother's operation.
Oh, it is.
If I could, I would like to bring this through on a chronological basis.
Right.
I would like
one thing I left out. My mother says that her father, who was very fair and was literate, educated, was a sort of commissioner of colored schools in Howard County. And he was older than my grandmother. He had not married at the time that my mother's mother came to Howard County as a teacher in the schools. And he met my Amanda Bowen.
Your grandmother.
My mother's mother. When she came to teach in the schools from Montgomery County.
Mm-hmm.
She was her African forebears believed in education. She was very well educated. And so she came to Howard County to teach in the schools. And my grandfather, Charles Henry Carroll, met her then. He courted her, and they were married. And they came to Baltimore to live. 8 children were born of that union. My mother was the 7th of 8. One is still living, my aunt, Mrs. Florence Carroll Snowden, who is 83. My mother tells the story of how hard it was then. My grandmother lost 3 children in 2 in 1 day, 3 in 1 week from
typhoid.
What period was that?
That was before my mother was born. My mother was born in 1889. Now
apparently typhoid was a fairly common disease. I was interviewing some people who lived in Dickeyville in the early years, and there was a lot of typhoid there too.
Yes.
but lost three of them. So how many children actually grew to adulthood then?
They five grew to adulthood. I remember my Uncle Charlie, who was the news dealer. He was in business. I remember the ice cream parlor that my grandmother conducted in the ground floor at the basement of her home at 1134 Drutal Avenue. I remember my Aunt Marion, who was graduated in 1907 from the Colored High and Training School, from which my mother also was graduated. And I remember my Uncle Osborne, and I remember my Aunt Florence.
What would you say were the most important influences on your mother as a child?
Before I think you should add about the store on Edding Street. They sold coal in the house, the first floor, and the first floor rear, they had coal that they sold to people in the neighborhood.
Was that your grandfather who sold that?
That
is right.
He had a wagon. They were all business minded.
All right, so you're saying that he sold coal, but he also had this paper route to this paper business?
No, his son.
His son had
the paper route.
Okay. And but his wife had the ice cream.
But after they moved from the Edding Street house, they bought the 1134 home. And in that home, in the basement, they had the ice cream parlor that my sister was talking about.
And we have the mortgage that my grandfather and grandmother signed
in 1923.
We have a copy of the mortgage that they signed after it was released.
Well, did your mother ever talk to you about what the important influences were on her as a child? Do you have any feel for this?
Yes. My mother always said that her mother was the dominant figure in the family, evidently, because she said her mother always taught her that her character was the most important possession a person could have. And when you had character and a good education, you were rich. My mother always said her mother told her, so that my mother said that she was taught that education was very important, and she of course taught after she was graduated from the Colored High and Training School, which is a combination of a secondary school and teacher training.
How many years of school did that involve in those days?
You mean the teacher training?
Was it a matter of, say, 12 years and you got a teacher?
We're not sure.
I'm not quite clear what you mean when you say
no. No, she graduated from the normal school. You're asking how many years the normal school?
Well, for instance, I believe that in the early 1900s, there was only 11 years of regular school anyhow for those who went that far.
Here's her picture. She graduated from high school there. Then she
went to this teacher's training
It was a combination.
So in
Colored
other words,
High and Training School. My mother said it was a year. A year after high school you remained. Those who wanted to be teachers.
Well, then, in other words, it could have been 12 years of schooling then, because I think the high school has only had 11 years.
Now, Carl Murphy graduated the year before with my Aunt Marion Carroll from the Colored High and Training School. So we'd have to check those records to see how long
the period. Where was that school located?
Pennsylvania Avenue and Dolphin Street.
Now, when did that cease?
When Coppin Teachers College was organized.
And when was that, do you know?
No, I have to.
Did your mother have a strongly religious background or not? Because I gather that she was a very religious person. Did that come out of her home, or is this something that she acquired as she went through life, or what?
It came out of her home.
her mother, who was the granddaughter of the African chief, came out of a religious home. And she, my mother early attended the Sharp Street Memorial Methodist Church, which was built by the ground, from the ground, by colored Methodists in 1896. And they burned the mortgage in 1904. My mother attended that church, and from my own, from what she told us, they all went to that church. My grandmother was not formally a member of that church. My grandmother was a member of the Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church, which is located at Druid Hill Avenue and Landvale Street. It seems that she preferred the African Methodist Episcopal Church because her forebears were African Methodist Episcopal. Mm-hmm. The Methodist, the African Methodist Episcopal Church was called the Freedom Church because they early separated from the Methodists and formed their own church because they were segregated. They had to worship in the balcony of the white churches, so they early formed their own church, at the African Methodist Episcopal Church, so that they would be free to worship without discrimination. So my grandmother was formerly a member of the Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church and was a great worker in that church.
She used to go out to, for 5 years before her death. She couldn't talk. She used to, nevertheless, she was trying to help pay for the expenses. They had a rally on, what was that, 133,000, Juanita, Bethel Church. She was trying to help pay for the church, expenses of the church, and help to reach the goal of that $133,000. She would take me, at least I would accompany her, out to Camp Hollaburn. And she would sell tags, even though she couldn't talk. I was her sort of interpreter for her, and I in turn told the people that she approached them, the soldiers, what she was doing. And as a result, she was able to get and realize a lot of money for the church through those efforts, all the way out to Camp Hollaburn to sell. She just had that determination. Couldn't talk. Mommy inherited a lot of that.
Well, very good. Your mother was teaching when she met your father, is that right? Could you talk a little bit about how they met and what their early married life was like and your birth, beginning of your mother's family?
My father was born in Carrollton, Mississippi in 1883, I believe. We have his, where's Papa's?
Well, I have that on the record somewhere, yes. So we can verify that.
Anyway, he was born in 8th Carrollton, Mississippi. One of a large number of children of Mrs. Jenny Jackson. They, in color, they ranged all the way from
there. Their name was Jackson, too?
Yeah, his name.
That's right, his Jackson, yeah, yes. Okay.
See, she was a Carol. My
That's
mother
right. Yeah,
was a
right,
Carol.
Right.
And my father was Keeper Alpha Jackson.
Right.
Now, he, in the family, he was very fair of skin. And he used to tell us that when he was about 6, he used to...
And by the way, I met your father many, many years ago.
Did you?
And I thought he was white.
Yes. Well, in America, one drop of black, Negro blood made you a Negro.
Well, what
so
was
he was, Mama used to say he was too white to be colored, and she was too colored to be white. So, but they were husband and wife, they were father and mother of children, they were Americans. So what was all the fuss about color? She used to say, you can look at us and see what color I am and my husband is, so don't ask me what color I am. Ask me if I'm an American. She said, that's the important thing. We're all Americans, Jew and Gentile. We come from all religions. We come from all nations. My forebears came, she said, from Africa, and on one side, on the other side, the blood of spirit of freedom flows in my veins, because she always said, on the other side, I'm a descendant of a sign of the Declaration of Independence. And she used to say, when the Cals came to Maryland, they couldn't hold office because they were Catholics, and they fought for the Religious Toleration Acts in order that they could hold office. And later, Charles Carroll of Carrollton became a member of the legislature and was elected to public office. And it must be said for him that in the late 1700s, in the legislature, he introduced a bill for the gradual abolition of slavery, which brought him a lot of censure and criticism. But it never, however, the bill never passed. And he kept his slaves, because in his will, upon his death, he had a large number of slaves.
Well, he was a very wealthy man.
Yes. And the slaves, interestingly, in his will, a value was set upon them, and that was a part of his wealth. Not only land, but his slaves.
Well, that was standard practice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that, as far as we know, he had a large number of slaves upon his death. But he did try to free, tried to get the state to abolish slavery, but was unsuccessful. However, she used to say that America is the melting pot. We're all mixed up Americans, she said. And the important thing is not our race or our creed, but are we good Americans? She believed in being a law-abiding American. She believed in worshiping God and being loyal to your country and being the best that you could be as far as your own character and educating your talents, developing your talents.
Well, good. Would you like to describe a little bit more, though, about
my father,
your father and their marriage and raising the children?
My father was white in color, as white as you, Mr. Wagan.
As I said, I remember.
Water came here some years ago.
Who?
To write a reporter came
yeah.
here to the house to when my mother and father, our mother and father were living, to get the story of the interracial marriage. After all these years, our mother and father had lived in Baltimore. That reporter, I'm sure he represented many people who felt that our father was not of the black race. I thought that was rather significant. He was just that white.
He was that white, but
would you say his sisters were? Was it his mother or his father who was very white?
His father was white. His mother
yes.
was brown. Her picture is on my mother's wall. You've seen that picture.
But his father, you say, was all white or not? How could he get away with it in Mississippi?
That his father was white.
Huh? We believe.
We
couldn't have been. Couldn't have been.
He never talked about his father. My father never talked about his father. He hated Mississippi with an abiding passion that was to last as long as he lived. He said when he was one of 12 children of Jenny Jackson, and his name was Keeper Albert Jackson, and Jenny Jackson was a beautiful brown woman with straight hair, which with the indication that she had a lot of Indian in her, because we have had two of my father's sisters were very dark in coloring, had very straight hair and very piercing eyes, and looked very like they were descendants of American Indians. But my father himself was very white in color. And this is the picture of his brother.
Oh, wait.
He looked more like a cracker.
Now, what's
Southern
this?
Cracker.
Yeah, this is your uncle, this picture you're showing. All right, well, is it the same Is it the same father for all these 12 children then?
No.
You just don't?
I don't know.
You don't know.
And I believe
she married to?
I do not know.
In other words, that's all hazy.
That's all in obscurity. And my father never talked about it.
He didn't want to talk about it.
My father did not want to talk about it. And it is our feeling, my father felt very strongly about the exploitation of black women by white men in the South.
Yes.
He talked about it. He never wanted us to go out and work for white people where there would be white men.
Because